With Hashem's loving grace, welcome to Emunah Beams with your host, Laser Brody. Today's podcast is entitled The Balance Scale of Baghdad, and I'm going to share with you a story that was told over 120 years ago that's not only a special message for Sukkot, but a relevant message for all of us today, especially in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. We'll preface by mentioning that the Torah commands us to use the four species during the festival of Sukkot: the etrog, which is the citron, the lulav, the palm fronds, the myrtle, and the willow. In Land of Israel prices, a choice etrog today sells for about 250 shekels, which is $73, or even more, and a perfectly kosher lulav is not much cheaper. Three prime myrtle twigs required by halacha are also expensive, priced at about 80 shekels minimum, which is $22. Then there's the willow twigs. Two of them cost no more than 5 shekels, which is about a dollar and a half. But without them, the lulav set is incomplete, unfit for fulfilling the obligation of the four species. Well, a person might ask, what do I need the mundane willows for? With a fancy esrog and a prestigious lulav and rare three-leaved myrtles, who needs the willows? Well, the answer is that Hashem does. Hashem requires us to use the willows. That's the fourth species of our four species. As our sages tell us, the four species correspond to the four types of Jews. And the willow represents the simple Jews, who aren't particularly noted for their wisdom or remarkable deeds. Yet, these Jews are also Hashem's beloved children, and they're an integral part of the Jewish people. The willow, correspondingly, must be an integral and necessary part of the four species, the lulav and esrog that we take on Sukkot. So don't ever underestimate a simple Jew. For a simple Jew is not really that simple, as we'll find out in our story of the tomato vendor in Baghdad, a story that's attributed to the Ben Ish Chai and is well known to the Jews of Iraq. Iraq was suffering from a terrible drought. For 3 long years, there was barely a drop of rain. And the Sultan of Iraq, he summoned the head rabbi of Baghdad, who was a great scholar of scholars, as Baghdad was noted for its formidable Torah giants and holy men. The Sultan looked at the rabbi gravely, and he asked, Rabbi, why aren't you and the Jews doing anything about the drought? Well, the rabbi stammered, Your Majesty, this is a divine decree. We pray every day for rain. We even held repeated public fasts. Well, the Sultan waved his hand in a dismissing gesture. That's not enough, Rabbi. I know that you people are miracle workers. You can overturn the decree if you want to. And as an incentive, I'm going to give you 3 days. If there's no rain by then you and your people will be given 24 hours to leave Iraq. You will be exiled, and any Jew who doesn't leave will be killed. With a wave of the hand, he sent the rabbi away. Well, the rabbi summoned the town criers of the Jewish quarter, who in turn emptied the homes and shops of every Jew, calling them to come to an emergency prayer gathering in the main synagogue of Baghdad. The rabbi gave a fervent sermon, bringing the people to wail in despair. How could they leave their centuries-long home of Babylon, which is today's Iraq, where their forefathers had lived since the destruction of the first Holy Temple? Where would they go? What would they do? Well, everyone was urged to repent and rectify whatever misdeeds that needed rectification. The entire adult community of Baghdad fasted for 3 whole days, doing nothing but praying and learning Torah. In the holy Kabbalahs of the community, they tried to invoke divine compassion by using different combinations of Hashem's holy name and prayer, but nothing helped. On the afternoon of the 3rd day, with 2 hours before sundown, there was still no trace of a cloud in the deep blue Babylonian sky. Right before the afternoon prayers, the head rabbi made a tearful appeal to the congregation. Cherished brothers, our sages teach that even if a sharp sword rests on a person's neck, he must hope for heavenly mercy. Obviously, our Torah and Tshuva have not been enough to rescind the harsh decree and to end the drought. Is there no one in the community that hasn't done some special deed to arouse divine compassion? From the back rows of the synagogue, where the poor, simple, and least prestigious people sit, Salach, the elderly tomato vendor, called out, Rabbi, wait for me before starting mincha. I must get something urgently. I'll be right back. Well, in less than 2 minutes, Salach returned with the 2-pan balance scale from his tomato vending cart, which was harnessed to a donkey right outside the synagogue. He hastened to the front of the synagogue, and he placed the scale on with its cast iron weights on the bima, that's the podium where we read the Torah scrolls from. He then looked up to the heavens and said, Master of the world, You know that in all the years I've been peddling vegetables, I never cheated a person out of a single gram. I never overcharged anyone. I check and calibrate these weights all the time. They are true as your name is true. Father in heaven, I'm not a Torah scholar because I never had a chance to learn in school. I barely make a living, so I'm not a philanthropist either. I have no Torah, I have no remarkable deeds, but I do know the Ten Commandments and I observe them with all my heart. I've never stolen or taken a single penny that doesn't belong to me. My scale and my weights are my witness. Please, merciful Father in heaven, if I'm nothing, at least my weights are righteous. In their behalf, please send rain and have mercy on your children. Well, by the time the tomato vendor finished his soliloquy, the skies of Baghdad filled with heavy gray clouds. Before long, torrents of blessed rain soaked the parched country, and the Jews of Baghdad were saved. What's the timely lesson of our story and the many others like it? No one in the synagogue ever paid attention to the poor tomato vendor. Outside of Simchas Torah, whenever he gets called up to the Torah, he barely was ever honored with an aliyah. Yet without him, the entire community would have been rendered null and void, heaven forbid. This is the lesson of the arava, the willow, and the four species. Without it, the expensive and fancy other three species are useless. Don't ever look at another Jew as simple because he's not as learned or as wealthy or as high-stationed as other people. No one knows the intrinsic worth of a so-called simple Jew. He could be a hidden tzaddik in whose virtue the entire community lives and prospers. He or she could be so humble that they don't even realize who they are themselves. There's another message here. As I'm recording this, the coronavirus is going crazy in Israel. The per capita mortality rate here is now higher than that of the USA. What's more, the observant communities in the USA are also having a terrible renewed outbreak, much greater than the general population. Well, people put emphasis on yichus and blue blood lineage and money and social standing, but as the Gemara tells us, if there's one simple Jew who earns an honest living without cheating anyone, or another simple Jew who won't say a word of Lashon Hara, a derogatory word about anyone, for all the money in the Swiss banks, either one of them could be the honest weight that tips the balance of the heavenly scales in our favor and causes the terrible decree of COVID-19 to be canceled null and void right now. So each of us must strive to be that upright person with the purest heart and the purest mouth possible. May we merit to be such simple Jews that tip the heavenly scales in favor of a joyous Sukkot holiday, a strengthening of Torah and Emunah, good health and an adequate income for all our people, together with Mashiach and our rebuilt Holy Temple, and the best year ever. Amen.